Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Well, glory to His name. Amen. God is good. And all the time. If you have a Bible tonight, we're going to be in the Bible. Amen. Isn't that what we ought to do when we get in church, get under the Word of God, and be obedient to the Spirit of God? Let me just introduce what we're doing tonight. And you preachers will know what I'm talking about, and maybe a few others. But you know, I really do spend quite a bit of time praying and studying long before I ever get up to preach. And these other brothers do, and sisters do as well. And every now and then, when you've spent time praying, and you've spent time studying, and you believe that you've got a message for, all of a sudden, God will change horses in the middle of the stream. Amen. And for those of us that like to dot all our I's and cross all our T's, that's really unnerving. And I was having one of those spells. I was wanting to preach on unity tonight. Really was. Had prepared a message and really got that thing ready, you know. And then last night, we were sitting at Spring Creek and singing, and all of a sudden, man, my spirit just started, and I knew God. You know what I'm saying? I just knew the Lord wanted to say something to me. And so I opened my Bible. That's how God speaks to me. I've never heard an audible voice from heaven, because if I did, God knows I'd just be a basket case. And so I opened the Word of God to the book of Numbers. And I started reading chapter 21, and that's that crazy story about people getting bit by snakes. You know, and the people were supposed to look to the pole, and the bronze serpent on that pole, they were just supposed to look, and they would live. And I thought, Lord, what's this about? And then not 5 minutes later, after Brother Will had gotten up to preach, he quoted the words of Jesus, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." So I said, thank you, Jesus. I know what I'm supposed to preach on. So I went back to my study and put together a message for this evening. I hope God blesses it, because I believe with all my heart this is what I was supposed to share. Let's start over here at John chapter 12 and verse 32. And then we're going to go to John 3, 14 through 16. And then we're going to wind up, hallelujah, in Numbers 21. Okay? If you have found John 12, verse 32, can we stand and honor the reading of God's Word? We always do that here. And if you can't stand, if you're having trouble, you honor God's Word the best you can. Jesus is not only the written Word, He's the living Word. And if He walked in here tonight, hello? Well, He is here tonight. All right? John 12, verse 32. If I am lifted up from the earth, will draw, not hope so, guess so, maybe so, will draw all peoples to myself. Now, turn left in your Bible just a few pages, or your smartphone, or whatever you've got on you, and look at John 3, verse 14. John 3, 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Amen. That whoever, say whoever, believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. For God so loved the world. I said, for God so loved the world. Amen. That He gave His only begotten, His one and only unique Son. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Billy Walker, ask God to just bless the word tonight, would you?
Thank you. God of all grace and mercy,
yes.
We're here tonight to make much of your son,
yes.
To learn much of your son, to
yes.
Experience much of your son. Holy Spirit, you are a welcome guest.
Yes.
I pray, Lord, that you would hide this brother behind the word, behind the cross. Speak to him, speak through him to us. And I pray that when we leave this place, we will look back on this night and we will say it was this. We could hear chains hitting the floor. All over.
Hallelujah.
People being set free.
Yes, God.
The dark chains that Satan binds us with.
Mm.
So come, Lord, and do a mighty work in this building. We are the sheep of your pasture. We're just here to learn of you. Bless us in this hour.
Yes.
In Christ's name.
Thank you, my brother. Please be seated. You know what I have found to be true? Jesus, wherever I am in the Bible, I find Jesus. Brother Will told us last night, we don't need to come looking here for revival tonight. We need to come looking for Jesus. And if you'll find Jesus, you'll find unity. If you find Jesus, you'll find repentance. If you find Jesus, you'll find faith. You'll find all the things that you need. Well, every time I open the Bible, I find Jesus. I mean, He's on every page. He's in every chapter. He's in every book. He's in both testaments. As somebody said a long time ago, it's a hymn book. It's all about Him. And I just want to preach Jesus tonight to you as best as I can. He is our lifted up Savior. When he said it last night, man, I mean, my spirit just leaped. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. How many of you know we need to be drawn to the Lord tonight? Well, that's what I'm praying that God will do tonight. And so I want to talk about look and live. Look and live. Look at your neighbor and say, look and live. Now, some of y'all hadn't figured out who your neighbor is. Your neighbor is whoever's sitting beside you. Just tell them again, look and live. All right, that's better. And now, there's several movements. We're in Numbers 21. That's what Jesus was talking about all of that in John that we just read. We're in Numbers 21. And there's several movements in this narrative. And let me begin there with verses 4 and 5. What we've got first of all is God's people are in sinful rebellion. God's people are in sinful rebellion. Kind of a common theme from last night, right? God's people are in sinful rebellion. Look at verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. Now listen to this, watch this. And the soul of the people became very discouraged. That word there means impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Now listen to this. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes or detests this worthless bread. God's people are in sinful rebellion here. Now, the Israelites were on their way to the promised land through the wilderness. How many of you know you don't get to the promised land until you've been through some wilderness? And so they're on the way to the promised land, but right now God's teaching them a lesson that they needed to learn in the wilderness. It's a lesson they would never forget. And the first thing that jumps out at me is that they doubted God's promise. They said, did you catch that? Watch this. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? I mean, God had promised them already, had He not? Where were they going? To a land flowing with milk and honey. God had promised them, I'm taking you to a land that, Coach Gregory, what are you doing way over here? See what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. So when when God promised them that He was going to take them to Canaan land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that they hadn't worked for and hadn't fought for, live in houses that they hadn't built, eat crops that they hadn't planted. God, when God promises you something, you can take it to the bank. And what are they saying? Oh, you've led us out of Egypt to let us die. They doubted God's promise. And I want to tell you, if you want God's best for your life, you better just believe what God has already said. Believe what God has already said. And that's what He's talking about here. They doubted God's promise. And unbelief is not so much a matter of the intellect as it is a matter of the heart. Let me say that again. Unbelief, the sin of unbelief, is not so much a matter of intellect. Now, it involves the intellect, but it involves your heart. And I want to tell you, if God has made a promise, and He's made over 3,000 of them in the Scriptures. By the way, did Jesus show up the first time? Hello? Let me go over here. Did Jesus show up the first time, y'all? Well, didn't God say He's coming again? And He will come again. Didn't God say that He would supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ? Didn't He say that? Well, God's going to meet your needs. Didn't God say, if you'll just trust Me and believe Me, that I will meet all you? He said, if My word abides in you and you abide in Me, ask what you will and it shall be done for you. We just need to believe God's promises. And I don't know how you feel tonight, but I believe I'm headed to the promised land. And sometimes you got to go through the wilderness, but just because you're in the wilderness doesn't mean you're not going to get there. Amen. Sometimes God has to, and I've learned far more in the wilderness, hello, than I have when everything's good. And you know, I like it on the mountain, but sometimes you got to go through the valley. And so God's people are in rebellion against Him, and they're doubting God's promise. The Bible says, he that believeth not, God has made him a liar. People go to hell every day because they doubt God's promise. You can have eternal life tonight. You can have abundant life tonight. But you got to believe God's promise. Here's Lottie Moon calling again. Everywhere I go, she shows up. You Baptists know who Lottie Moon is, don't you? Amen. All right. Here's the second thing. They disdain God's provision. Look again at verse 5. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water. And our soul loathes, detests, hates this worthless bread. Now, God had been feeding miraculously, supernaturally, 2 million Israelites with what? Manna. And the manna that He, I'm reading with my sanctified imagination, but manna was probably akin to sanctified French toast or whatever they call that stuff. What do they call it, Barb? Is it French toast? What's this bread, you know, that they fry up with eggs on it and brown sugar and cinnamon and all that stuff? Isn't that French toast? Hello! Sanctified French toast falling from heaven every morning. Can you imagine that had oil? I mean, you know, but that manna from heaven was a foreshadowing, a picture of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The bread was a picture of Jesus. The bread came down from heaven. Jesus came down from heaven. The bread was miraculous and supernatural. A gift from God. Jesus is supernatural and miraculous, and He is God Himself. The bread was round, which speaks of His eternality. How many of you know He has no beginning and no end? He's Alpha and Omega. The bread was white, which speaks of His purity. Jesus, there's never been anyone like Jesus. He's faithful and true. The bread had the flavor of oil on it, which speaks of His Holy Spirit. The bread was sweet. How many of you have tasted Jesus and found Him to be sweet? Sweeter than honey. The bread lay upon the ground, which speaks of His humiliation. The bread had to be picked up, which speaks of His resurrection. The bread had to be eaten, which speaks of having to place your trust and faith in Him. The bread gives life, gave life, even as Jesus gives life. And the Israelites said, we don't want it. We'd rather have the world's garlic than heaven's bread. They disdained God's provision. They doubted God's promise. There's one final thing here in verses 4 and 5. They despised God's prophet. Did you catch that? And the people spoke against whom? God and Moses. Let me just park right here and give a word for my preacher brothers and sisters. You better be real careful how you treat the prophet of God. You better be careful. Did you know that it's in your best interest? It is in your best interest to treat the man of God or woman of God with respect and dignity. Now, I'm here to tell you, we're human just like y'all. And don't you put me up on some pedestal, because that's where Jesus belongs. But you better pray and support you. Whoever your pastor, whoever your minister, whatever you call that, your preacher, you better support them. You better be careful. And I am amazed, Brother Larry, how pastors and preachers of the gospel get treated today. You want judgment to fall on your church? Then you do damage to the man or woman of God at your place. Now, I know y'all didn't come to hear that, but let me just tell you, that they spoke against God and they spoke against God's man. And brothers, let me just... David, Jerry, Brother Larry, the rest of you brothers. The Bible says, beware when people speak good of you. When all people speak good of you. I think that's the way it reads.
I've never had that problem.
I had somebody... Brother Will, I had somebody 2 weeks ago tell me, said, Brother Cal, so-and-so doesn't like you. I said, what else is new? You pray for your pastor. You pray for your ministry. You help them get in there and jump in there and help them to do it better. If we spend as much time praying and supporting our men and women of God, listen, we're all then complaining about them. What kind of church would we have? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They despise God's prophet. How many of y'all remember that wild preacher, former baseball player and evangelist, Billy Sunday? You ever heard about him? I mean, that cat was something else. He was an evangelist and a fiery sermon, fiery preacher. And one Sunday morning, he was preaching one of those hellfire and brimstone sermons of his. And after the service, one of Billy's men came up to him and said, Billy, don't you think you ought to tone it down just a little bit? And Billy said, why? And the man said, because you're rubbing the fur on the cat the wrong way. And Billy said, the cat's headed to hell. If the cat had turned around and head the other way, I'd be rubbing the fur the right way. Will hit the nail on the head last night. Don't come to church looking for some feel-good message. You come to church looking and wanting to get a word from God. You let Him speak. You let Him take care. Let His Word speak to your heart about whatever it is that God wants to say to you. And I tell our people Sunday in and Sunday out, I'm going to give you the truth. I'm going to give you the Word of God just as lovingly as I know how to. And sometimes it'll bruise you and it'll hurt you and it'll leave you. But I will not leave you bleeding. The Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God?
Yeah. Woo!
So you prayed for the man of God. And sinful rebellion, just got a real simple little outline, leads to a sure retribution. Why did God do this? Now look at verse 6. This is the second movement in this narrative. He said, so the Lord sent. Oh my. Amen. We don't hear about this kind of Lord very often anymore, do we? The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people. And many of the people of Israel died. Why did God do this? The serpent, these snakes, and God sent these snakes and serpents, and they were everywhere. I mean, Diane, they were in the bathtub. I can just hear you screaming now. Those snakes were under the chairs, in the dining room. They were in the living room. They were in the garage. These snakes were out in the yard. The snakes were everywhere. And folks were getting bit. You can almost hear those snakes hissing when you say the word sin. The reason folks were getting bit is because the wages of sin is, you got it. I love God's people. I love the church. I do. But my brothers and my sisters, there are many attributes to God, and He's more than just a loving God. He's a God that has to judge sin. He has to, because He's holy and righteous. And if He refused to judge sin, He would cease to be holy and righteous. He has to judge sin. Has to. And so these folks were getting bit by the snakes, and they're dying left and right. And by the way, we've all been bitten by the serpent sin. The Bible says we're born into sin. And then when we get old enough and we know it's wrong and we shouldn't do it, and we do it anyway, even though we know it's wrong, well, the Bible says that's sin. We've all been bitten by this old serpent called sin. And you know what sin does. The Bible says all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. God has a right to punish sin. His very nature causes Him to have to punish sin. But let me say this. Has anybody ever told you all, how can a loving God send people to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. Our sins take us to hell. Our sin. God made hell for the devil and his demons. He didn't make it for you and for me. As a matter of fact, He sent His Son to your hell for you. And if you wind up in hell, you had to step over all the gospel sermons you've ever heard, every gospel song that you've ever heard sung, every prayer that somebody has prayed for you. It's hard to go to hell. God's done everything He knows to do so people don't go to hell. And Will got me again last night, boy. Do we believe in hell anymore? Do we? I mean, do we really? I don't think we do. Because if we really believed that there's a hell, we'd be doing a whole lot more than we're doing tonight to reach folks that are going to hell. Amen. We would. I mean, you just think about a house that's on fire across the street. Would you get in over there and try to rescue those folks? That's where people are headed. Out in eternity. What are we doing for Jesus' sake? These folks were dying from snake bites. Those fatal fangs would sink into the flesh. Every nerve in their body would cry out with pain. Every joint would begin to stiffen. Their eyes would glaze over, and people were dying left and right. It's painful to rebel against God. I said it's painful to rebel against God. And the bite of that serpent was both fitting and fiery, but it was also fatal. Sin brings death. Not just any kind of physical death, but spiritual death. You see, before you were born again, before you were saved, you were a dead man. You were a dead woman in trespasses and sin. And for me to think that I can put on a little coat to do better, and I can do enough righteous acts and good things that'll outweigh all these bad things that I've done, that's blasphemy.
Amen.
You'll never, on your very best day,
Amen.
Doing your very best deed, be good enough to be in a relationship with God. What we need is His righteousness.
Amen.
He who knew no sin became Amen. Sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's what we need is His righteousness. Don't compare yourself with me. Don't compare yourself with anybody else. Compare yourself to Jesus and you'll find out I need Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so these folks were dying from the snakes. From sin. Sin. Watch out, there may be one under your chair tonight. Ooh, y'all be running to beat the band, wouldn't you? Bless God. I promised you, I never leave anybody bleeding. Listen to what the Word of God tells us. There's a saving remedy. Look at verse 7. Therefore, now anytime you read the word therefore, what's it? Therefore. The people came to Moses and said, we have sinned.
Amen.
We have sinned.
Amen.
I said, we have sinned.
Amen.
That's what God wants to hear. I mean, that's a good starting place. Amen?
Yes.
And God doesn't want to hear excuses and denials and justification and all that stuff. He just wants us to agree with Him. He wants to hear our admission of guilt. And you know, brothers and sisters, the church, the only difference between us and our lost community is simply this. We've admitted our guilt and trusted Christ.
Amen.
That's it.
Yes.
All have sinned to come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Every one of us. We're all in the same boat. And the only difference between me and them is I've got Jesus and they hadn't got Him yet. But I'm just silly enough to think that God's bringing 90,000 folks in here over the next 10 years so they can meet Him. And we've got to get ready for that. We have to. And in order for that to happen, we've got to come together. Oh, there's the unity sermon coming in. We've got to come together. My daddy used to say, Will, two heads are better than one. And he's right. We've got to come together. We're a hospital for sinners. We're not some stinking country club for the saints. Hello? That's who we are. And so we've got this remedy. Look at verse 7 again. It says, we have sinned, for we've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He would take away the serpents from us. In other words, Moses, intercede on our behalf. Be a mediator for us. Step in the gap. Stand in the gap for us. Are y'all getting this? And so the latter part of verse 7 says, so Moses prayed for the people. Now look at verse 8. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Look at verse 8. You're going to miss it. Then Moses said to the Lord. Is that what it says? Then the Lord said to Moses, this saving remedy is God's plan, not man's plan. God's plan of salvation is His plan, not ours. It was Moses that said unto the Lord, the cross was God's plan for you and for me. Can you imagine the dilemma, the divine dilemma that God was in? Back before the foundation of the world, He knew if He created us, He knew we were going to mess things up. And He made us anyway. And His very nature, He has to judge and punish sin. Or He would cease to be holy and righteous. And yet, He's a God that's full of grace and mercy. So, you understand, how am I going to judge them? I hate sin. And you know why God hates sin? Because of what it does to us. And yet I love the sinner. And He looked around, all around heaven, and there's His beautiful Son. And He said, there's the answer to sin. I send my Son, my one and only Son. And He'll live the perfect life. And He'll satisfy. He'll become the atoning sacrifice. Satisfy all my wrath for sin. And He'll shed His blood and give His life so that people might be set free. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Is it coming clear for you? Whoo! There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's all about Jesus, friend. Look again at verse 8. Watch this. I'll be done here in just a minute, okay? The Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who's bitten when he looks at it shall, not hope so, guess so, maybe so, shall live. All you had to do to be healed of those snake bites to live was to look by faith. Look and live. That's all you had to do. And you would be saved. Amen. From that old serpent. And all you need to do to be saved from your sin is look to Jesus by faith. Amen. As your only way, as your only means of salvation. You know, every remedy that we've come up with has failed. Man's plan. Reformation, we flunked. Education, we flunked. Will touched on it. Religion, not going to get it done. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ is going to give you what you need. Only a relationship. He's the real thing. He's the sure thing. And He will save you today, tonight, whatever the problem is. Jesus Christ can take care of it. He's the great way maker. He's the chain breaker. He's the one that can make it all right. You don't have to go to hell. You say, Brother Cal, don't you know who you're preaching to? I know exactly who I'm. One of the most fertile fields for evangelism is the church. You listen to the preacher. I can talk about Southern Baptists because I are one. We've got about 15 million Southern Baptists, give or take a few thousand, each Sunday. And the FBI can't find 8,000 of them. They're not anywhere in church. You got to come to church? No, you have to come. But if you're born again, if you're saved, you want to be with your family. Amen. Hallelujah. And we got a bunch of lost people on our church rolls. And I don't know what label they've slapped on you, but you got a bunch of lost folks on your church rolls. And that's a great place to see people born again and saved. Man, there was an evangelist up at First Baptist Clarksville here, a year ago or so, and there was a bunch of church folks up at First Baptist that got saved. And I just raised both hands and shouted, glory to God. I mean, I think every church member ought to be saved. Amen. I think every pastor ought to be saved. Amen. I think every deacon ought to be saved. Amen. I think every elder ought to be saved. Amen. I think the ushers ought to even be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. God's available tonight for whatever it is that you need. But here's where I wanted to end this thing. In order for those people... Now, bronze was a symbol of judgment. And that bronze serpent that Moses put on that pole was telling those folks, if you'll just look by faith, there's never been any other way to be saved. By grace through faith in Christ and Christ alone. It ain't Jesus plus this and Jesus plus that and Jesus and add on three or four. No, it's Jesus and Jesus alone. It's all Him. Because if there's anything else you got to do, then Jesus didn't need to come. But if you'll look to Jesus by faith as the only means of saving your soul, the Bible said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out."
Amen.
That's what the Word of God says. Amen. I'm living proof. If God will take me, He will take anybody. He'll receive you if you'll come to Him His way. And you may be one of those lost church members here tonight. I can't think of a better place to get right with God than right here.
Amen.
The saints of God will shout. The hymns will come to life for you. People will just weep, tears of joy. There's somebody here tonight, and you need to be born again. And if you'll just agree, like those folks did, Moses, we've sinned. Just agree with God about your sin. And say, "Lord, I believe you died for all my sin. And I don't understand how you did it, but I believe you're alive. You're God's Son, and you got up from the grave. And tonight, I just want to look to you and you alone for salvation. Save my soul tonight." If you'll pray a prayer just like that in your seat, no simple recited prayer is going to save you. God's looking at your heart. And you just word that prayer to Him and He will save you. But here's what we need to do, church. I'm guessing, most of us in here are saved, but you have a family member that's lost his last year's Easter egg. You know it, and they may know it, but they need to hear from somebody like you. And you need to leave here tonight. Lost people don't have tomorrow, and you need to go share with them what God's laid on your heart. Did you know God loves you? He's not mad at you. And He sent His Son for you to take care of your greatest problem. He's taking care of mine. And if He'll do it for me, He'll do it for you. You know, if the church really gets revived, we'll start seeing baptisms and evangelism, and our churches will start filling up. But until we get a heart for God and what's on His great big heart, we're not going to have revival. But I refuse to give up. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Would you pray with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I can't imagine being in that Israelite camp that day. And snakes running in and out of the tent, all over the campground. But oh God, sin has done a number on every one of us. And Lord, I believe in my heart of hearts that there is someone here tonight, maybe 10, 20, 30. Their life never been changed by the power of God. Oh, they've been in church. They've been in the baptistry, but they're not in Christ. And God, tonight, they're under conviction. And I pray you would give them the faith and the courage to ask you to save them tonight. Do that tonight, would you, Lord? And then, Father, the rest of us that are saved, I want to ask you to forgive us. Our neighbors are dying and going to hell. Our classmates, our schoolmates, the folks we work with are headed to hell. And we've never even said anything about heaven to them, much less Jesus. Oh God, would you forgive us? And give us Holy Ghost boldness tonight. Give us a burden. Just give us one. Lay that one on our heart. And then give us the boldness to go. And love on these folks until they say yes to Jesus. Would you do that tonight, Lord? Thank you for that saving remedy. Thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of response. And if you want to pray, or maybe you've already prayed, sitting right there in your seat, I'm going to ask our pastors and our ministers and folks who are leaders in the church to just head right down there in that lower pavilion right now, guys and gals. If y'all would just head right down there. And while we're singing, if you pray to receive Christ, I want you to just go down there and find somebody and tell them what you've done tonight. Just say, I prayed to receive Christ. I need to know what's next. I need to know where to go, what to do. These guys and these ladies, they can help you tonight with that. And the rest of you, if you're born again, let's let God do a work in our heart. Let's just let Him do a work in our heart so that our city can come to Christ. Let's do that.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.